you thanks for all that you've done and you continue to do for us. Lord, there's none like you. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, amen, amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. This morning, I'm going to be doing something a little different. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a lot different. Is that okay, Pastor Alex? Can I be totally okay? All right. So you heard him. He said it was okay. So if this thing goes sideways and I go off the rails, Pastor Alex said it's okay. You know, but in all seriousness, the message I have this morning is very somber, very serious, not a popular message. But the number one reason I'm preaching it this morning is obedience. God told me to preach this message. And this morning I'm going to preach on hell, the reality of hell, something we need to know, okay? Four other reasons I'm preaching on hell this morning. Number two, well, I guess the second reason is it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's fair game, right? Number three, Paul said, I did not fail to teach the whole counsel of God. So the whole counsel of God. Fourth reason I'm preaching, you know, because my wife said, why are you going to preach on hell? You want to scare the people? No, I don't want to scare people, but I want to share the reality because this is what the Bible says. And, you know, how many here love the teaching of Jesus Christ? You know, all the red in the Bible, Jesus spoke more on hell than he did on heaven. So if it's important for Jesus to talk about it, it's important for us to listen to it, right? And the fifth reason, which really comes close to home, is that people really don't have an understanding what hell really is. Okay, you hear people all the time, like when a rock star dies, like Ozzy Osbourne, for example, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, Ozzy died. He's with Jimi Hendrix and John Bonham. They're jamming in hell. They're having a party. And people think hell is a party. And it is not. It is a place of torment. And so this morning, I'm going to share on the reality of hell because it's somewhere we do not want to go. But a lot of people don't have the revelation of what it even is. And so this morning, God gave me this message. And I'm a little apprehensive to preach it, but I know I have to out of obedience. But I just want to share the reality this morning of what it is so we know exactly, you know, what is there so that we can avoid it like the plague. All right, so first of all, let me define what is hell, right? In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, they use the word Sheol, right? And in the Greek transliteration of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, it's called Hades, right? So hell and Hades is a place for the afterlife where the dead humankind, the souls of the dead, go to be, right? And so it's a place where both the righteous and the wicked went after they died, before the cross. So back then, what they believed is when a person died, whether they were good and righteous or they were wicked, they all went to Sheol or Hades because they didn't have a whole lot of revelation of what it was, but they know that they went there. And Sheol and Hades is a temporary holding place for the souls of the dead people before final judgment. And I will get back into that. But it's a place of torment. It's a place of temporary torment. Both the righteous and the wicked went there. David used to say, Lord, you know, save me. Otherwise, how could I praise you from Sheol? David knew he was going to go to hell. Now, they understood that there was probably, you know, the righteous people had comfort. The wicked were, you know, in an evil place. But the righteous knew they were going to be with their families, right? How many times have you read, you know, and Abraham died and was gathered to his people. And Jacob died and he was gathered to his people. So the righteous were gathered to their people, to their families. So those, that family reunion, all right? They also believed that hell was in the center of the earth, in the physical center of the earth. Isaiah 14:15, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead, down, not to the left, not to the right, not up, down to the realms of the dead, to the depths of the pit. And Sheol and Hades means grave. It means a pit, right? And Jesus confirms this when, you know, the religious leaders were saying, you know, give us a sign, right? And he said, this is a wicked generation. No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, confirming that it was in the center of the earth. So back then, Sheol or Hades, the place for the dead, which only humans, there were no demons in Hades. You see the picture or that painting of Dante's Inferno where you have the, you know, the demons or the, that's not biblical. Only humans go to Hades or Sheol. And this is where they went after they died. That's all the revelation that they had. So that's the first category of hell. The second category of hell is what we call the abyss. Remember when Jesus and Luke goes to the Gadarenes and he confronts the demoniac who has the legion of demons, and they cry out to him, they beg, please do not send us into the abyss. The abyss is hell for demons. That's where the demons go. There's no humans in the abyss, only demons. As a matter of fact, in Revelations 9:11, the demons had king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon, the destroyer. So there is a hell for humans, which is Hades and Sheol, before the cross, and there's the abyss for the demons. Then we have Gehenna, another word in Greek, that was brought from the valley of the Kinnon Valley, which is out of Jerusalem, where they burned all the dead bodies and they burned all the trash, and the fire never went out because they were always burning garbage, refuse, and human bodies, the dead bodies. So the fire never went out, and that's where they get, you know, that analogy that hell is a continual place of fire and judgment and condemnation for all eternity. Gehenna is the final judgment at the great white throne judgment, the lake of fire, which I will get into. And then the last category of hell is found in 2 Peter 2 and 4, when it says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. Tartarus is the Greek word, from Tartaru, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So this is a place, a special place for specially wicked demons. Now if you remember in Genesis chapter 6, when the sons of God, which are the angels, went into the daughters of men, cohabitated and created a race called the Nephilim. So these angels, these fallen angels, impregnated women, created this race, and this disgusted God so much, he immediately sent them to Tartarus, which is below hell, in chains for judgment. So those are the four hells. But I'm going to be talking this morning on Sheol and Hades, because that's what really is, you know, concerns us. Okay? Now, if you got your Bible, go with me to Luke 16, and we're going to pick it up there. Luke 16. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, verse 19. You see, Jesus spoke in parables everywhere that he went. But this is not a parable. Many scholars believe it's a parable. I don't, and there's many who do not believe it's a parable either. Because parables are very general in nature, right? The sower went out to sow seeds. Some fell on the way ground, some fell on the stony ground, some, you know, in the thorn, some on good ground. Very general. Or the parable of the wicked tenants. You know, a man bought a field, built a tower, dug a wine press, hedged it, and he leased it out to the tenants so that at the end of the year he can get his, you know, his share of the harvest. Again, very general. And then how about the prodigal son? A man had two sons, a young and the old one. And the young said, Father, I want my share of the inheritance now. Right? Very general. But in this story, the dynamic is different. It sounds different. And there's actual proper names, Lazarus and Abraham. So it's more than a parable. It's an actual story. And Christ here reveals the nature of hell, where people went to before the cross. Again, they didn't have any revelation back then. All they knew is that hell was at the center of the earth, and everybody went there, the righteous and the wicked. Okay? So, let's read. Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, there's that hell, Hades, he cried out. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, you are tormented. And besides all this, there is between us a great gulf that is fixed, that those who want to go pass from here to there cannot, nor those from there to here can pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may testify, he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if you do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear or be persuaded if one raises from the dead. Okay, now, Jesus is using here a rich man and a beggar, two extremes. The rich man fared sumptuously. He was dressed in purple. Purple was extremely, extremely expensive. It was made from dye from special snails, and snails are small. So it shows that this guy is like ultra rich. And Lazarus was so poor, he was a beggar, and he couldn't move. The dogs licked his sores. And back then, it wasn't my cute little dog, Hannah, or Simon, little cat. You know, no, these were ravages. These are like coyote-like dogs. And if they ate dead animals, so there was a possible infection by them licking the wood. It was bad. And he uses these extremes between the rich and the poor. Now, obviously, because you're rich in that day, you got to think like a Hebrew in the first century. They believed that if you were rich, it's because God favored you. So automatically, if you were rich, you were going to go to heaven. That was a belief. That is confirmed by the young rich ruler that comes to Jesus. Lord, you know, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know the commandments, keep them. Well, I have. Well, Jesus said, one thing is missing. Give all that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me, and you'll find treasures in heaven. And the Bible says that he went away sad because he had many possessions. And Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Much easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the apostles were astonished. They said, who then can be saved? If the rich is not saved, because they believed the rich were going to go to heaven. Why? Because if you were rich, God favored you. If you were poor, God cursed you. That was the belief, right? But it doesn't mean that if you're rich, you're automatically going to go to hell. It's just a generality. And if you're poor, it says in James that God chose the poor to be rich in faith. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're condemned to hell, or because you're poor does not mean you're going to go to heaven. Generalities, but I think the Lord used a wide spectrum to include everybody. Okay? Important to know that. So from Adam to the cross, whoever died went to Sheol. Not even the prophets knew what happened on the other side. They didn't know. All they knew that was when someone died, then they were going to go to Sheol, they were going to go to Hades, whatever, and that's all they knew. See, God did not give them a dump into their hard drive of everything that was going to happen. Humankind, all through history, then and now, we are on a need-to-know basis. When we need to know, God will tell us. Right? Just like when God revealed himself to his people. You know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. In the history of Israel, God would reveal a little part more of him so that his people would know him more. It was progressive revelation. And so at that point, they knew nothing about hell, nothing about Sheol, except that it was a pit and it was in the center of the earth. That's it. Jesus comes along and he opens the curtain to reveal exactly what is going to happen in hell. Because he came from heaven, he knows everything. Hebrews 1 and 1. You know that God in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers, to the prophets, but now has spoken to us through his son Jesus, who is made heir of all things. So Jesus brought revelation. And he shows us what is going to happen in this place called Sheol. Okay, so let me just go through this. He says here, and the rich man, again, was buried, he was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Father Abraham. In hell, you will see. In hell, you will see. See, we as human beings all have five senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. Believer or unbeliever, we all have those senses. But we as born-again believers have spiritual senses. We know things that the unbeliever doesn't know. That's why the Bible says that the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. They cannot perceive them, for they must be spiritually discerned. We have spiritual senses. We can see in the spirit. We can hear in the spirit. Unbelievers cannot. But in hell, they will receive those intuitions. They will receive those spiritual senses to know things And one of the thing in hell, in torment, in Hades, in Sheol, is people will see. You will see other people. He saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus. He saw other people. You will see. Okay. Number two, it says here, he lifted up his voice and he cried, "Oh, Father Abraham, in hell, you will speak. Sound waves will carry. People will be able to talk to one another. There will be communication. There will be sound waves. They'll hear. Most of the sounds, however, are going to be sounds of anguish, despair, crying, weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment, agony, cries. Like if you've ever heard stories of, and again, take this with a grain of salt. People have had experiences where they've gone to hell and they describe what they see, or they go to heaven, they describe, and that's all beautiful. I have no reason absolutely to deny them. But the only source of truth we have is the Bible. But they say that in that after-death experience, they see that they're flying into a tunnel and they go down, and as they're going, they're hearing cries. So in hell, there will be cries. There will be sound. People will talk. All right? Number three, question for you. Father Abraham, how did he know? Did Abraham have a Facebook fan page, an Instagram or a TikTok account? Were there posters of Abraham in the temple? How did he know it was Abraham? Because he had spiritual intuition, which he received when he went down there. God opens up their eyes to see and understand that that was Abraham, even though he'd never seen him. Like when we go to heaven to be with Jesus, hey, there, Paul, can I talk to you? 2 Corinthians 5:2, come talk about it. Right? You'll know Paul. You will know Peter, King David, Moses. Love your beard. Can we have a coffee? Right? Oh, Eve. Eve, come here. Give you a little noogie. All this problem I had was because of you eating that fruit. You know. All joking aside, we will know people because we've never seen David or Moses or Eve, but we will know it's them. We will have that spiritual intuition. And in hell, people will have spiritual intuition. Okay. Number four, he says here, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. People, you ever heard the expression, hell will make a believer out of you? It's exactly what's going to happen. People will come to a full understanding of their eternal predicament, that it is too late. They will realize that this Jesus nonsense and crap was actually real, that Jesus was real, that God was real, that hell. I know Christians, Pastor Alex, who don't believe in hell. Jesus believed in it. Hell is real. How do you know hell is real? Well, if someone, you know, murders, you know, or serial killer murders all these young ladies and never gets caught and dies and goes to heaven, will God let him in? No, he's got to go to a place of punishment. God has to punish. And so in hell, it's a place of torment, and people will cry out for mercy, but mercy is on this side. Yes, God is a God of second chances, but on this side, not on the other side. When a person's eyes close for the last time, when they take their last breath, that is the last chance they will have to accept Jesus Christ. There will be cries of mercy in hell, but a deaf ear, God will not hear. Because they had the opportunity in life to accept Christ, and they brushed it off, and they didn't want it. People will wake up to their eternal reality, but it will be too late. They will realize that Jesus was real, and that he was the only way. No other religion. You know, Muhammad didn't raise from the dead and die for you. Confucius didn't die for you. None of these people died for you. Only Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, number five, he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Thirst. You will experience thirst, like your senses. You will be thirsty because of the flames, but there is no quenching, no refreshing. Because if you want water, his name is Jesus Christ. He's the water of life. Jesus said in John 7, the great festival, the great feast, all those who are thirsty, come to me and drink, for I will give you living waters. He said to the woman at the well, he who comes and takes of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never thirst again, because he is the water of life. You want to drink now while you're alive, because then there will be no water, there will be no refreshing, but torment and flame. That is what's going to happen in hell. Number six, he says, I am tormented in this flame. Fire, pain, suffering, my son, you had the good things in life. And Lazarus had the evil things. Now you have the evil things. You had your chance. Lazarus suffered evil. Now he has the good. He is comforted, but you are in torment. Now, why did God choose fire? Why is hell a place of fire? Because fire represents the purity of God. Fire is that thing that purges. Gold is put in fire to purge it, and the dross lift up and they skim it off so that what is left is pure. We go through the fire of judgment because Jesus died for us so that we don't have to get there, but God is a consuming fire. And the Bible says that, like in the valley of Kidron, where, you know, Gehenna, the flames, he says, I'm here in flames. If they were never purified through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's that continual flame that will burn. Number seven, this one's kind of funny. Well, not funny, but he says, imagine this. Here he is in hell or Hades, and he sees Father Abraham. Now, he knows the story. Abraham is what? He's the friend of God. He convinced God not to send judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. Will you destroy the whole city if you find 50 righteous? Well, how about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And he stopped at 10. You know why he stopped at 10? It's a nice round number. No. He had 10 family members. Him, his wife, his son, the daughters, and their spouses. But obviously, only Lot and his wife are probably the righteous ones. So God had to bring judgment. But he should have known that, hey, well, if Abraham can talk or God out of bringing judgment and fire against Sodom, I'm sure he can do it for me. Father Abraham, you're in with God. You're good. He's your homie, right? Can you talk to him on my behalf? Maybe lessen the flames a little bit? Maybe put some sprinklers on? Maybe get me out of this place? You know God. You speak to him face to face. Can you intercede for me? He had Abraham. What did he do? Go tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Because he thought, get this, that Lazarus was still his servant. Because in his real life, he was at the gate, wanting to be fed by crumbs. So the guy could have went, oh, Lazarus, you're still here. You know what? Go to the market, you know, take this to Brother Mo, and when you come back, I'll give you a slice of bread. And you probably could order anybody around. But he's in hell, and he's still trying to tell Lazarus what to do. In other words, even though hell makes a believer out of you, it doesn't change your personality or your character. He was still an evil man. I've heard stories, people who go to hell, they have these visions where they see, Andy Warhol and John Lennon and all these famous people still speaking the way they spoke in life with that attitude, that edge. Hell does not change you. Hell does not change your personality. An evil person is still an evil person. Tell Lazarus to go dip his finger and put it on my tongue because I am in flames, right? He didn't become good because he went to hell. It was too late. And the last one here, and this is the one that when you think about it really gets me. Father Abraham says to him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. Remember. Hell is a place of torment, flames, heat, agony, despair. But I believe one of the greatest sources of torment in Hades, in Sheol, is your memory. Why did I not go to church when they invited me? Why did not I accept Jesus Christ when they witnessed to me? All these lost opportunities to receive Jesus Christ. Oh, I was with my friends and We were going out to have laughs, and we came into, this guy began to talk to us about Jesus, and something happened in my heart. It began to bulge. It began to break. I felt I needed to talk to him more, but my friends made fun of him, and I didn't want to look stupid in front of my friends, so I laughed too. Why didn't I say yes? One of the greatest torments in hell is going to be your memory of all the lost opportunities. Or maybe you're already saved, but you know you're not living the life you should be living. One day I'll get right with God. I still got time. Okay, maybe I'm not, but look what I'm doing. I'm doing good things over here. And okay, I'll start reading the Bible next week. I'll go to church the week after. And all those come back to you. Why did I not get serious with my walk with Jesus Christ? The memory will torment a person for eternity, right? We have many opportunities to accept Jesus, but they refused him, and that is going to be in their minds for all eternity. So when a person closes their eyes, gives their last breath, and they close their eyes in this life, they will open their eyes in the next life, and that will seal their fate. You see, when Jesus died and he was buried, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:19, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus went to hell, to the center of the earth, to preach to the demons, to preach to the righteous, right? And then in Ephesians 4:8, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive. Means all those Old Testament saints that died in righteousness were taken up with Jesus, and they went to be with Jesus. If you don't believe me, read the book of Matthew, that some came up from the graves and went into the city and started talking to people. They were, now, that's not the resurrection. That happens at the rapture. So now, my point is, from Adam to the cross, everybody went to hell, to Sheol. It was divided in the good part and the bad part. But when Jesus took the saints with him, hell engulfed the whole thing, and Hades is still there today. Anybody who dies without Jesus goes to the center of the earth, and they burn in a place of torment, and they will talk to the rich man, because he'll be there. It's a place of temporary judgment until the final great white throne judgment. But those who are saints and those today who die in Christ, they go to be with Jesus. How? Nobody knows. Yeah, you read the books, you hear the stories. That's nice, but that's not in the Bible. You're not in your resurrected body, but you're with Jesus. Okay, that's important. Jesus rises, frees people from the captivity of sin and death, and he takes the Old Testament saints with him. Right, and so the bosom of Abraham was what was referred to as a place of paradise. But now there's no longer there. They're in heaven with him. Okay. Now, some people, some cults, some sects, some false religions, they preach a soul sleep. Yeah. People say, well, what happens after you die? Well, you just fall asleep. You're unconscious. Look what the Bible says. Jesus went to Bethany with Martha and Mary because Lazarus had died. And it's okay. He's okay. He's asleep. He'll wake up. No, he's dead. Hello? No, he's asleep. He's dead. So they believe that when a person dies, they're dead and there's a soul sleep where they're unconscious. But here we see that immediately after they got to hell, they were both aware of what was going on. The rich man was aware of what was going on. He was conscious. Lazarus was conscious. So when a person goes and dies to be in hell or to be with Jesus, they're fully awake, fully cognizant of what's going on around them. Again, no one has a resurrected body yet, but at least they're there in the presence. Okay. My main point here of the story of the rich man is that in his cry for mercy, it was too late. It was too late. God is a God of second chances while we're alive. How many are glad that God is a God of second chances? Listen, Vicky, I'm glad he's a God of 100 chances. I don't know about you, all right? But we have until our last breath to get right with God because we want to avoid this place, Hades and Sheol. It's a place that it is not a party. It is not a rock on. It's not a concert. It's a place of torment and agony and anguish. We need to make sure we don't end up there. And funny here, when he finds out that this is what my destiny is, I can't get out of here, can you at least send Lazarus to talk to my brothers? They got Moses and they got the law. Well, they're not going to listen to them. But if someone raises from the dead, Abraham says no. Even if someone would raise from the dead, they're not going to believe. Right? Because can you imagine? If someone dies and resurrect, or they pray, you know, a day later and it comes back to life, right? What's going to happen? You're going to be amazed. You're going to be astounded. Wow, yeah, I was in hell and God brought me back, and this is how terrible. You don't want to go there. You grow great, and you know, and you're scared. You're full of the inertia and all the stuff in you. You know, wow. But a week later, you're back at work. You're 9 to 5, and you kind of forget that. Let me tell you something. A miracle does not save you. Only true repentance. As a matter of fact, someone did come back from the dead, and his name was Lazarus. Not the same one, right? Bethany, the brother of Mary and Martha, after 4 days, roll away the stone. Lord, he stinketh, you know, King James. Why? Because the body had began to decompose. If you've ever seen those pictures of zombies, their skin's fall, that's exactly what it was. 4 days into the tomb, it was hot over there. Tombs were not air conditioned, right? And then the Jews did not practice embalming like the Egyptians. They just put wraps, perfumes, so they don't smell while they put them in the tomb. But he was decomposing already. And Jesus calls him out, comes back to life after 4 days. Wow, they had never... See, back then, they believed that when a person dies, the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days. 3 días. After that, on the 4th day, the spirit would be gone, and it would be too late. You could not resurrect a person after 3 days, after 4 days, only up to day 3. Only Messiah could do that miracle, 4 days. They knew that. Only Messiah could do 3 miracles. Number one, open the eyes of the blind of someone born blind, cast out a demon of someone who was deaf and dumb, who couldn't speak, and number 3, raise someone from the dead who'd been dead more than 4 days. All those pointed to Jesus. And you think that the religious establishment, wow, this is the Messiah, he did it, it's him, Jesus, we believe in you. What did they do? Kill him. That's when he really began to want to kill him. So no, even if someone raises from the dead, that will not convince them to repent. They have Moses. They have the law. That's sufficient. And as a matter of fact, that's biblical. In Romans 1, 18 and 19, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, both to the Jew and to the Greek. You want to get someone saved? Preach the gospel. That's all you got to do. Preach the gospel. Leave the results up to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit convict them. Don't try to save them. You can't save them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm sowing seeds. I'm giving out a gospel tract. We're going to Tim Hortons. We're going to go to Lord Jackson Square, give tracts, just talk to people about Jesus. And that's all I'm going to do is I'm going to preach the gospel. That's all you tell me to do. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For those who believe, Jews and Greeks, right? So preach the gospel and let the gospel do its work. That's all we need to do. So whether you believe that the story of the rich man and Lazarus is a real story, or if it's a parable, in other way, the story and the result is the same. There is a place called hell in Sheol where there will be torment after a person dies, in a holding place until the final judgment. Those who die in Jesus go to be with Jesus, right? As a matter of fact, it says, in, Paul says in, I believe it's Philippians, he's in jail. You know, I'm in jail, I might die, I don't know if it's the truth or not, but hey, I believe that by your prayers I'll be set free, but I don't know what's better. Because if I live, it's for Jesus, it's for Christ. If I live, it means more fruit for you. But if I die, it's gain. What do you mean, die is gain? Can I tell you something? Pastor Alex, Paul wanted to die. Because he said in another part of Scripture, I think I have it written down here. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Paul knew, listen, if you chop my head off, you go right ahead. I'll be with Jesus. So when someone dies and they're an unbeliever or unrighteous, they go to Sheol, they go to Hades, they go to the pit to wait until the great white throne judgment. So from Adam to the cross, from the cross to the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, to the 1,000-year millennial reign, all that time, the unrighteous are in Sheol and Hades. Then the Bible says that the Hades will give up their dead, the sea will give up their dead, and they will all stand before God, Revelation 20, I believe, and all will be judged. The books will be opened and the Lamb's book of life, and whosoever name is not in it will be cast alive into the lake of fire. That is the eternal judgment. So those in hell will have a reprieve. When they come out of torment, they come out of Hades, and they're waiting to be judged. Then they go into a worse place, because in the lake of fire, it's dark. There's no light because God is not there. That's what it says in Revelation. In heaven, they're not going to need a sun or a moon. Why? Because God is the light. So hell is going to be totally pitch black, dark, except for, because it's a lake of fire, the embers, the glow will show some light, but it's a lake of fire. People will be swimming, trying to stay afloat while they're burning at the same time, and your skin will not be consumed. And that is 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Eternity. Eternity. You don't want to die without knowing Jesus. You don't want to die being fully committed to Jesus. Listen, there is no sign in hell that says, here stand those who God rejected. God didn't reject anybody. They rejected him. They rejected the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. God doesn't, how can a loving God send someone to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Right? You go rob a bank, kill the security guard, you stand before the judge. Judge says 50 years in jail. And you scream at the judge, didn't you just win the Citizen of the Year award, Mr. Nice Guy, and you're sending me to jail? You're not a nice person. No, the judge doesn't send you to jail. You send yourself. You committed the crime. God sends no one to hell. People by their own free will. God, because he is a God of love, has given us free will and the right to choose what we want to choose. Plus, in Matthew 25, when Jesus is separating the sheep nations from the goat nations, to those of the goat, he says, listen, you accursed my father, go to the lake of fire created for the devil and his angels. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for us. Well, we're all children of God. Not really. Us people believe that. John, 1 John specifically says that if you do not love your brother and you do not love righteousness, you're a son of the devil. Here, the sons of God and the sons of the devil have manifest. If you don't love God, or if you don't love righteousness, or you don't love your brothers, you're not a child of God. These are children of God and children of the devil. If you're not a child of God, you're on the other side. Let me end with this. Many people have had chance after chance to receive Jesus Christ, and they never accepted him. And when they died, it was too late. We have until our last breath, until our last waking moment to receive the Lord, to have the forgiveness of sins by the shed blood, that we could go to heaven. James 4, 13 to 15, life is but a vapor. Oh, I'll live to be 85 years old. Vapor. You don't know. David says in Psalms 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days. We don't know. Right? You may be, actually, I heard of the story once where these two people were witnessing to this one guy. Talking about Jesus, about heaven and hell, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you. And the guy laughed it off, said, I don't need God. I don't need this. Turned around, walked off the curb, boom, and a bus ran him over and killed him. You don't know. How many of you have been reading the news lately? People dying from stray bullets or a car crash. Your heart gives out, brain aneurysm. Or you go to sleep, waiting to go wake up in the morning, and you don't wake up. I'll get right with God one day. You don't know that you had. Steve Hill used to say that tomorrow is only in the fool's calendar. And let me finish with a story, and I'll bring it to a close here. Remember a year, 2 years ago, that story about the Titan submarine? The guy made a small submarine to take people on trips to go see the Titanic. Remember that? Well, some guy did a little speech, a little study on that, how things happen. And well, when he went down, this guy designed a submarine. And he didn't design it the way normal people design submarines. Composite materials, all this new stuff. And he thought it was good. He tested it, but not all the way to the bottom. But after a couple hours, they lost contact with the submarine. So they thought, wow, his communication system is out. Well, they better do something because they only have 5 days of oxygen. Next day comes by, they only have 4 days of oxygen. Next day goes by, hey, they only have 3 days of oxygen. We got to find them. 5 days goes by, they're dead because there's no more oxygen in the submarine. Well, they finally go down and they finally find a submarine. And you know what they found? That the submarine had imploded. You know what that is? Explosion, it goes out. Implosion, it collapses. Because I used to have my scuba license, my paddy license to scuba dive, and every 33 feet, the pressure doubles and doubles and doubles and doubles. So if you go up there with 1 hour worth of air, by the time you go down three levels, you're down to a quarter tank of because it compresses. And when you go up, you know, it comes back again. That's why you can take a deep breath of the oxygen, nothing related to my sermon, and you can begin to go slowly, and you can just breathe out, and you'll breathe out for like a minute because the oxygen keeps expanding in your lungs, right? So anyways, this submarine imploded. Now, what the guy was saying was that you have, your between your brain and your nerve endings and your eyes and your fingers, you know, signals travel. So if you are cooking in the kitchen and you put your finger on the your hand on the stove and you burn yourself, it takes 100 milliseconds from the pain signal to go from your finger to your brain, 100 milliseconds. That's about a tenth of a second. Now, so you're out in the park, someone throws a football and it's coming right at your head, right? It takes 10 milliseconds for that signal from what your eye sees to hit the back of the brain, danger, duck. And 10 milliseconds is 1/100th of a second, pretty fast. Said, when this submarine imploded, it was instantaneous. 1 minute they were talking, the next minute they were all dead. They never even knew they had died. That's how fast it was when it imploded. My point is, you may not have tomorrow. You may not have an hour. You may not make it home. I'm not saying anything bad. We don't want to play with this. The reason I'm ministering this morning on the reality of hell is because we want to make sure we don't get there. This is real. I don't believe in hell. Well, I love you. You're a great person. I think I trust Jesus more than I trust you. Jesus believed in hell. He preached more on hell than he did heaven. Hell is a real place. And the people who die without Christ go to Sheol until the final days when the millennial kingdom is over. Everybody resurrects, great white throne judgment, lake of fire. Those who die in Christ go to be with him in eternity in a place of peace and joy and the wedding supper of the Lamb and the whole thing. Right? Let me finish with this. What's the most recognized gospel scripture in the Bible? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Listen, if you get anything from this sermon, please get this, what I'm about to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. What is perish? Eternal hell. Listen to this. God loved you so much. He preferred that his son die on a cross and take his wrath so that one day you and I wouldn't have to do that in hell. That's how much God loves you. Yes, praise him. God preferred that his own son face his wrath. He from the ninth hour to the sixth hour to the ninth hour, it was dark. And in those 3 hours, God took an infinity eternity of hell, compressed it into 3 hours, and poured it out on his son. My God, why have you forsaken me? The only time in all of eternity that Jesus did not see his father's face. God had to turn his face away because he couldn't see the sin on his shoulders. God loved you so much, he preferred his own son die instead of you. The best way you have to escape this place of hell and torment is to love Jesus. Love him with all your heart. Stop playing the games. Stop being distracted. If you're not hungry for God, say, God, I'm not hungry for you. Make me hungry. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an altar call. And what we're going to do is this morning, if you're here in this place or you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, you've never made a public confession, I want you to come down and we're going to take care of that. Or maybe you are from a family that they're just Christian. We all go to church. That's what we do. But you've never yourself made a commitment to Jesus Christ and you're not serious about your relationship with him. I want you to come down. Yes, thank you with the music. Thank you. Or maybe you are a Christian. You come to church. You love the Lord. But as Pastor Patty said, Pastor Alex, you know, this morning, maybe you're just going through some stuff. You're not at the place you know. You're not living in sin. But you're not where you know you should be. And you could use a little help. I want to open up the altar to you. Or maybe you're just doing everything right for God. You know if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. But you want a little bit more fire. I want you to come down. In other words, everybody should be coming down. And what we're going to do, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want everybody to pray this prayer. And after that, I'm going to open up the altars. We're all going to come down. I'll give the mic to Pastor Alex, and he can finish the service as the Lord leads him. And then, you know what? Please, let's get right with God. You want to escape this place. This is a hard message to preach. In 27 years that I have been a Christian, I have never, ever heard a message on hell preached from the pulpit. Never. And you probably neither have either. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. I want everybody to stand up. And we're going to pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, please forgive me. Lord, for my sins and all these things that I've done against you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. That he bled, shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And that he took the wrath of God that I deserved. Jesus, today I put my faith in you. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. Be the Lord of my life, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the assurance of your salvation. I declare that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. And I bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap offering of praise. The altars are open. Please come down. Get some prayer.
Great message. Okay, so if you want prayer today, come on up. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have that assurance that you've never been in a relationship with him, why don't you come on up? And if you're a Christian and you're struggling and you want, you know, prayer to move through, then come on up over here. And I just want to invite you to come up. And if you want a touch from God and you want to have a deeper fire and a deeper passion, then come on up for that. So I'm just, the altars are open right now. And in response to the word of God, come on up and we'll just trust the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do today. I just want to invite our prayer team, if you want to come up and come on to the front and we'll minister.
We did.
Amen.
It happened.
Amen.
So those of you that are online, we're going to sign off right now. And you too can, if you don't know the Lord, you can ask Jesus to come into your heart. That prayer that Pastor Miguel just prayed, that means you're born again. So call us. Let us know. Talk to somebody. Confess to somebody what you did and trust the Lord with that. So those of you that are online that want a touch from the Lord, Father, we just pray that your anointing would be upon them. We pray, Father, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be released. Father, I pray that there would be a fire that would burn in a deep place in their hearts and in their homes. And Father, we just pray the power of the Lord would be released, Father, to each and everyone online. And Lord, we're thanking you for it. In Jesus' name.